Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning. I've preached this twice already beforehand, this message here at Father's House. And I told my wife a couple of days ago, matter of fact, I'd been studying for revival all week to preach a message on revival to some of the great revivalists of the bygone days and to incorporate that teaching in the house of God. But the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to teach this message again. Because we are a prophetic house, and we have been slowly transitioning into an apostolic house. But God says the strength of the prophetic needs to be strengthened. We need to strengthen the prophetic teaching and the understanding of the different ways that God speaks to us prophetically. The confirmation came yesterday when I was out just taking a few things out of my Jeep, and I picked up a bag in the bag. I'm kind of getting a little perturbed with this bag because we're wrestling. There's all kinds of things in here, and I'm saying, how did this get in this bag? And so I put my hand down in the bag, and I started messing around, and I'm thinking, well, I need to find something that I was specifically looking for, and I couldn't find it. So I lifted the bag up to put it in another bag because it had a hole in the bottom, and a CD falls out of the bottom of it where there was a hole, and that the CD was entitled The Five Prophetic Ways That God Speaks to Us. So that was confirmation on the direction that Holy Spirit would have me to go into. And we're going to look at those five ways this morning. We want to quickly get through them. Number one is the office of a prophet. Just get the CD and listen to it because I'm going to be going pretty fast. Secondly is prophetic preaching. Thirdly is the prophetic presbytery, or the doctrine of the laying on of hands for impartation. Fourthly is the gift of prophecy. And fifthly, but not lastly, is the spirit of prophecy working in correlation with prophetic singing. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, first of all, we want to take a look at the office of a prophet. And I love this, of course. And we're going to read this together in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Everyone say this. The Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, wrote these words down. And, the very first word. So, conjunction, junction, what's your function? We have a conjunction here. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We're talking about the church of the living God, first of all. We're talking about what kind of foundation we need to build upon here at Father's House. If Apostle Sharon and Prophet Tim would be working beyond the boundaries of Part B of that scripture, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, then the apostolic and prophetic calling would amount to nothing. Because we realize that we have a true shepherd who is above us. And we're only distributing unto you the word of God that God has given us through our calling as apostolic and prophetic. Number one is the office of a prophet. We're going to read the second verse in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. Or in other words, the second scripture, I'm sorry. Ephesians 4 and verse number 11. And, now what have we seen so far in the first two scriptures? And is at the beginning of the verse. And he gave some. Now watch this. A lot of people think, well, I have all five offices. And I walk in all five. And some apostles feel like that if they haven't got to the top of God's hierarchy written by the Holy Spirit in chronological order, then if they've gotten there, then they must have been the other four. That's not necessarily so, because he didn't say he gave all. It says he gave some. Now watch. He gave some apostles. Watch that. And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Of course, the scripture goes on to say, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the perfect man, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Now watch this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 28, if you'll put that on the board. Let's read quickly. Now what does it say? Three for three. Not bad, huh? And, or conjunction, junction, what's your function? And God has set some in the church, not all, but some, because a lot of people that think that they are true apostles and prophets and in fivefold are really not that at all. Just watch the pattern of their life. And in honesty, watch the sufferings they've experienced in their times past, because God has to use suffering a lot of times to remove a lot of things out of fivefold ministers. God has set some of the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, what? Not pastors and not evangelists, but thirdly, teachers. After that, put parentheses around that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, plural tense, watch that. Nobody has a gift of healing. It's plural tense. Gifts is plural and healings is plural. That way no one can boast in that and say, I did it. You didn't do anything. God forbid if you said you ever done anything. You never healed anyone. None of us ever have. The gifts of healings helps governments' diversities of tongues or different kinds of tongues. Can you say amen? So those are the scriptures that all started with the word and. And it gives us an illustration of fivefold ministry and the gifts of helps and governments. This is the chronological order of the functioning body of Jesus Christ, and it should be ran according to that scripture. Can you say amen? So I put down here, the ministry of the prophet in the church is not a gift of the Spirit, is it? The gifts of the Spirit are... Anyone? No, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, against such there is no lie. But we go on to list the gifts of the Spirit, which is the gift of the word of knowledge. To some is given the word of wisdom, some the discerning of spirits, some the gift of faith, working of miracles, and so forth. Tongues, the interpretation of tongues. And, you know, those are nine gifts of the Spirit. That is not where the prophet is included in. Although a prophet can be used in any of those nine gifts of the Spirit. So a prophet is this, a gift extension of the prophet Jesus Christ himself. In other words, when he went away, he gave gifts unto man, and he has now have some called and some sent and some just bundled up and went. But the ones that are sent are the fivefold ministries that have been equipped for the perfection of the saints again, for the work of the ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ. And they are to give themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer and to weed eating and to gasoline. You see, you know, I could just continue to go on. To cutting the grass and to do thousands of things that really they're not supposed to be doing, but they do anyway, because there's a shortage, a lack of people today in the church. You have to just step out and do that by faith. Can you say amen? Say praise the Lord. So Jesus was the full manifestation of the offices of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, all in one human body. Or in other words, in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelled all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You could preach a message today and it would shake up a lot of people, mostly Trinitarians. Is Jesus in the Godhead or is the Godhead in Jesus? You see, we always have said Jesus is the third person in the triune Godhead, and I have no arguments with that. But the scripture says, in him truly, in Jesus Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that's why Jesus said, you've seen me, dudes, you have seen the Father. Because you cannot separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is just the perfect name of God, you see. Because in the Old Testament, we had all of the compound names of God. Didn't we? We had Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and you know the list just goes on. And through progressive revelation throughout the annals of human history, the perfect name of God that represents the Godhead in the New Testament is Jesus the Christ. Say it with me, Jesus the Christ. Can you say praise the Lord? So I put down here, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the fivefold ministry he had embodied on earth in his self was sent back as gifts to the church in the form of men who would fill those offices. Not one person received all five, but as we've seen in the scriptures, what? The gift of each one was given to some. If it was given to all five, the scripture would have said it was going to be given to all five. Can you say amen? Now let's go on. The gifting was not an external endowment. Instead, it was an investment of Christ's mantle for one of the five ministries of Jesus, which was a divine impartation of Christ's own nature, wisdom, and power for each particular fivefold ministry office. Say praise the Lord. The office of a prophet is not just an extension of Christ himself, then, to the ministry of the body of Christ. But watch this, and a lot of people hate this. The devils hate it. But the fivefold ministry that Jesus sent back, he had them all in his body, didn't he? When he ascended to heaven, he sent them all back to be gifts unto men. But they are an extension of the headship of Christ to his body, the church. And you tried to tell some people that read, and thank God we're not on the air anymore, and I don't have to say this over the air, but there's a book out called Pagan Christianity. And what they try to do is they try to tear down the structural body of the body of Christ. They try to tell you that it's not, you don't have to go to church. It's not important to be underneath the fivefold. Then why did the scripture that I just read in Ephesians 4:11 tell us that we do? For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what those fivefold ministries are for. The office of a prophet is designed and endowed by God himself to function in a higher realm of ministry than the Holy Spirit's gift of prophecy. And I put this down. I'm talking fast. The gift of prophecy operates within the saints or a minister for the general upbuilding, encouraging, and comforting of the church of the living God. Can you say amen? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 10, watch this. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Did I give you that scripture? Yeah, there it is. Okay. To another, read it together, to another, the working of miracles. Isn't it great when we see the working of miracles? Oh, I just love it. And notice, it does say people. A lot of times saying, only God can do miracles. Well, that's true, but God can do them through earthen vessels or through us. So to another, the working of miracles, which is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Can you say amen? To another, what? Prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits, which is one of the four, at least one of the four that the prophets operate in. The discerning of spirits. They understand deliverance. So to another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers or different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 1. Watch this. Follow after charity or love and desire what kind of gifts? Spiritual gifts, but, conjunction, what's your function? Rather that you may prophesy. Now why is that? Because when we prophesy, we always understand what the Lord is saying because prophecy is in the native tongue. Tongues and all those different kinds of tongues that we just read about in 1 Corinthians 12 in verse number 10, those need to be interpreted. And a lot of times there's a misuse or a misunderstanding of what's going on in a Christian atmosphere. So someone will speak forth the word of tongues that comes forth in the message. There's no unbelievers present, and that's really the only time the gift of tongues and interpretation should ever be used. But you hear it all the time. And when you hear it and there's not an unbeliever present, that's not correct. That's out of order. Because tongues is a sign to the unbeliever that there's a God. So you give a message in tongues, an interpretation comes forth, and if there's an unbeliever present, they won't think you're mad. But if you speak in tongues, and in the body of assembly, a message in tongues, it's not interpreted, they should have been still. Or someone should pray that they interpret. Can you say amen? Say praise the Lord. So the second prophetic way that God speaks to us, and I know you've heard this before, but please just get it in your spirit. Because God is saying, let's renew the prophetic in the church. God is saying that we need to become strong in our prophetic gifts. If someone at the end of one of these songs would have had a word, but yet they were fearful of using that word, don't ever be fearful of using a prophetic word. Open up your mouth and speak in decency and in order at the right time in the service. It'll get quiet. the minister or the one that's in charge will understand, because everything gets quiet, they step out of the way, and they let the Holy Spirit speak for edification, for comfort, and for exhortation in the body of Christ. Number two, the second way that God speaks to us is through prophetic preaching. Can you say amen? 1 Peter 4 and verse number 11. Let's quickly read that together. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And Stacy's been hearing this word. I've been hearing this word. Pastor Sharon has been hearing this word for about 2 weeks now. An oracle just simply means a divine messenger that has the message of God. You're yielding your body as a divine instrument to be an oracle for God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. My friend Bill Preston wrote a book called God's Ability in You. You see, it's not in your flesh, but it's the born-again experience. And let's practice this. There was never one time that Jesus ever said you must be saved to get into heaven. Although we use the terminology salvation, Jesus said you must be born again. And not only of the water, but of the Spirit. Two things, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at this again. As of the ability which God gives. That God in how many things? Yeah, but that just leaves me out and people won't recognize me if I'm up here. That's not. Use your gift and humility. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And people sometimes say, boy, if we could just get a minister in that's far in some faraway place to come in, we'd have revival. That's not how revival starts. Revival starts with the individual that's in the body. It starts with Robin. It starts with Ron. It starts with Debbie. It starts with Tim. It starts with every one of us in here. That's where revival starts. But if we want revival and half of the church is praying for revival and the other half says, I don't care if we have it or not. Well, the other half, God may kick you out by the seat of your pants. You know, because the Lord's will is for us to be revived. Can you say amen? This is what I put down. Preaching and prophesying are not the same thing. And that's true. Although you can have some prophetic preaching in the house. I've prophetic preached for 3 hours and 17 minutes one time. Got up, my goodness sakes, the service lasted over 6 hours. People were coming up and leaving. It was up near Pittsburgh. And man, I was, and everything I had, was there was no notes, nothing. I was just getting downloads from the Holy Spirit. And I'd speak them. Here the people would come up. Prophetic preaching will cause the heart to be stirred. And it'll cause what's in the heart to come to the surface, you see. And it will manifest to the point where the people will deal with what's in their heart one way or another. In other words, they will either flee or they'll get free. Flee or get free. So preaching and prophesying are not the same thing. Preaching is normally, watch this, speaking biblical truths which have been researched, studied, and arranged for proper presentation. Can you say amen? Prophecy is normally extemporaneous. Everybody knows what that means. It means that you speak on the spur of a moment because Holy Spirit is putting a download into you. They're up here singing, and all of a sudden, you, here comes the download. And you're back there, and you're like, I can't do this because they're up there singing. What are they going to think? Wait for the right time. But kind of focus your, get your ears turned off of that singing for a little bit and listen to what Holy Spirit's saying, because he's about to say something to you in correlation to what they're singing about and what's getting ready to happen in the service next. Everything in decency and in order. So prophecy is normally extemporaneous. Again, that means to be speaking on the spur of a moment by divine inspiration and revelation knowledge that he has downloaded into you at that moment. Can you say amen? I'm going to make this two-part. I don't want to keep you long today. Preaching proclaims the Logos, doesn't it? The Logos is the written word of God that we have called the Bible. Preaching proclaims that, while prophecy, I love this, I remember when God spoke this several years ago. Preaching proclaims the Logos, while prophecy gives a rhema from the Logos. Prophecy will always be backed up by what the Word of God already says. So when you hear a word of prophecy, you're going to find that somewhere in the Bible, in Bible context. Can you say amen? So I'm going to want to say that. Preaching proclaims the Logos, while prophecy gives a rhema from the Logos. And here's what a rhema is in simple childlike terms. That you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that what has been said is truth. We're not on a quest after denominationalism, are we? But we are on a pursuit after truth. I want to know the truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you or make you free. John 8:32 and again in John 8:36. Watch this. Prophetic preaching is the direct voice of God speaking the pure mind of Christ. Watch this. So that even the speaker's precise words are exactly what God wants to say to the people who are present in the assembly at that time. Ah! God's saying something. And man, you know, it's like God's getting ready to speak and someone, you know, gets a vision of a Reese cup or a Zagnut bar or something. You know, they want to change their thinking about what's getting, you know, what they're getting ready to have down at the cafe. You know, and that's probably me most of the time because I got to eat several little small meals a day. Amen. And they turn out to be big ones. So that even the speaker's precise words are exactly what God wants to say to the people that are present at the time. Now here it is. Prophetic preaching is the oracle of God. That's the message today. Prophetic preaching is the oracle of God, which is one who communicates a divine command from Father. Sometimes I feel like what we need when we're up here preaching, and maybe you need it for the preacher that's up here. Everybody needs to have a glass like they have at the wedding receptions with a fork and start banging on the side of that thing. And say, listen up, God's speaking. And everybody, don't fall out of your seat now, but you lean over like this, you know. It's like, why would you lean this way when God's up there? Because Proverbs 5:1 says, my son, attend to thy word, my words, incline or bow your ear to my understanding. In other words, get him down there. Get your ear on there. Can you imagine us walking around like this the rest of the afternoon with super glue on our Bibles like this? But that's not what God is saying. God is not saying that. God is telling us today what we need to be doing is always be listening. Everybody wants to talk all the time. I remember, man, you talk about the glib tongue of some fast-talking evangelist. Man, I thought years ago if your mouth was shut, you wasn't an evangelist. I mean, after you preach, you're still talking. You know, you're out to what was shown is years ago, and you're sitting there, and everybody's just rattle, rattle, rattle. And I'm thinking, how are we going to take all this in and download all this, which really didn't amount to much anyway? And, you know, we're yakking all this idle talk, and the preacher just preached an awesome message. Let's talk about what he preached on. You know, let's talk about that and break it down and not accuse, but break it down and look at it and say, how did that benefit me today? You know, and I'm going to look at that over a piece of strawberry pie, and we'll figure it out. And I'll have a cup of coffee, you know, and we'll figure this out, what God is trying to say at the time. But the majority of the time, we're talking and not listening. So God told me, he rebuked me strongly years ago. Got into prophetic ministry in 2000 when that mantle fell on me in Pittsburgh. And man, that they put that red cloth on me, and the mantle came, just like the Lord had spoken 13 years before that. And it came, and the first thing I wanted to do was open up my mouth and speak. And I was getting ready to in just a moment when I spoke, went into a vision, spoke, said, get me two chairs. The place was packed, and they got two chairs, put them on each side of the door in the back, and 2 minutes later, two women come walking in. Don't tell me God doesn't speak and show visions that quick. When it comes, saints. And when I started to open up my mouth and say something to the two ladies that come in, Lord said, I didn't tell you to speak yet. Because he had more to download into me before I spoke that it would make sense to the ladies. So I waited. It must have been 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm standing there, and I'm just kind of like, mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was an all-black church, and I'm, and I'm just like listening. What do you want me to say? I'm not finished yet. When I download, I'll permit you to speak. So the liberty came, and I said, the lady on the left, I'm looking at you in a vision. You just came from the hospital, Presbyterian Hospital here in Pittsburgh. Solid in a vision, just as plain as day. Your husband is dying from stage 4 cancer. That's right, and she starts to weep. I said, they're sending him home on Tuesday. She said, yeah, that's exactly what they told me. They were going to send him home to die. And I said, but they're going to send him home well. Now, man, you better be right with God if you're going to tell somebody that. Well, they sent him home on that Tuesday. The prophet messenger or the seer of the house calls me 2 weeks later and said, that man's healed. He went for a PET scan, and they can't even find cancer that they said was there in the first place. It's because I was willing not to speak prematurely. I was willing to say, this isn't about me. This isn't for the admiration of men's persons. This isn't about men. And if you think it's about you, be careful, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So why do we think that we need to be a part of this in the flesh? Just listen. And he'll show you, or he'll speak and download something into you, and you'll be an oracle, and you will be able to communicate the divine command of the moment. The divine command of the moment. We're going to go to part 3 here, and then I'm going to close. We're going to come back next week, and I'm going to talk about those 2 points, and I'm going to add a few things that Holy Spirit's speaking to me right now to those notes. The third prophetic way that God speaks to us, put 1 Timothy 4:14 up on the board, is the prophetic presbytery. Let's read this. Neglect not. Two words. If you're melancholy today, get sanguine. Watch this. Neglect not the gift, the what? That is in thee. Where is it at? Yeah, but, oh, Father God, we just ask you to send down your Holy Spirit from heaven. Quit praying like that. He's already here. He's been here since Pentecost. He's on the inside of you. Kingdom people realize that. Watch this. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Jimmy Swaggart said one time, you can light up a room at any time. Just open up your mouth and begin to praise. Why do you think Robin gets up and praises? She takes us into the presence of God. And then we start slowing down in worship so that God can keep us there and speak to us and give us instruction in righteousness to tell us what to do for the week. Neglect not the gift that is within thee, each individual, corporately, if you'll join together and do that, which was given thee by prophecy with the what? They ain't laying hands on me. I said that to a person one time. They used to come here when I first started preaching here, before Pastor Sharon and I got married. She said, you ain't laying hands on me. God didn't tell me to let you lay hands on me. I said, I'll give you the scripture, and I gave it to him. Turned around and walked away. Now, don't get offended over that. I'm not living in sin. I don't get all these demons inside of me that through the law of contact and transmission, you ain't laying hands on me, because if he's got a demon, maybe I'll get one. You know, it don't happen that way. You have to open yourself up and say, I want that demon. There's no demons here. I'm only giving truth from God's word. They were saying Beelzebub. They're saying, what the word that you're telling me, I don't want it. That's what that says. We all need to lay hands upon one another and pray for one another. But watch, lay hands suddenly on no man, you see. It didn't say don't let people lay hands on you. It says you lay hands suddenly on no man, because they might have the demons, and then you'll have one too. Can you say amen? So watch this. We're going to read that one more time. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is where? Which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, or the prophetic people. The prophetic people. The presbytery. The prophetic presbytery. Now watch this, and we're going to close right here. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Closing here with these scriptures. I'm going to give you a couple notes, and then we're closing. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, anybody here? I hear an echo. Therefore, what? Yeah, but I want to talk about salvation every message. You ever go to a church that's all they preach on? every Sunday, it's like you go there. I did that years ago. Every Sunday, I mean, it was a church. It wasn't an evangelistic center. You'd go there, and the pastor would preach to the people who have been saved for 40 years. Well, maybe they need to come up, they're backslid. I guess that's maybe what he had in mind. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine or the teachings of Christ, let us what? Go on. Kick yourself in the backside and move yourself. Let us go on unto what? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. You know, there's other things we need to be doing. Instruction in righteousness means exactly that. Teach me in the way that I should go, not stop. There's a green light here. We all have a green light. There's no caution light. You don't have to rush up to the caution light and say, any police looking? I'm going through. It's always green. Always green. Watch this. I put down here the third channel or way that God speaks to us is through the laying on of hands with prophecy by men and women of God who meet the qualifications of an elder, which was a presbyter. An elder. A presbyter. What is a presbyter? An elder. The presbyter serves general function in this regard. We're going to close. Each one calling for a different set of qualifications, both in the presbyters and in the candidates, years ago. This is part of some things that I had as doctrinal issues of faith in the church that I pastored. Number one, prophetic revelation and confirmation of those who are called to leadership ministry in the church. You're not ordained unless God confirms it. Everybody says, I want to be the pastor. And they're not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a God-called pastor. I'm a prophetic man of God. And I realize that at this season of my life. I wouldn't try to pastor a church because it would fail. Because that's not where God has me right now. Ordination to fivefold ministry. This is the laying on of hands for authorization and recognition as an ordained minister of God through the doctrine of the laying on of hands of the presbyters or the elders, the prophetic people, the people that know God, they hear God, okay? And then thirdly, and here's where we're closing, confirmation and activation of membership ministries in the body of Christ. In other words, you really need a prophet in the house to do that. Because a prophet moves people to action and activates gifts in them. So through the doctrine of the laying on of hands, God puts a prophet in the house. So I don't want that. What you're saying is I don't want what God wants for me. Because through the doctrine of the laying on the hands of the prophets for impartation and activation in their membership ministry, in other words, what you've really been called to in the body of Christ, you may never have understood that at this point. But when there's prophets in the house and they're saying, this is your moment, don't waste that moment. Get hands laid upon you. Get the gifts and calling of God that God's called for you in this lifetime activated and watch God take off in you. Can you say amen? No caution lights here. I love you and the Lord loves you. There's no caution lights here. All green lights. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Praise team, would you come, please? The five different prophetic ways that God speaks to us. We went over three. Next week we'll finish up and go over the two. And then we're going to really become prophetic people in this house. We were. When I first started coming here, this place was on fire prophetically, wasn't it? But it's kind of slacked off prophetically. Some of the prophetic people, you know, had to move on, got other jobs, moved out of state, retirement, and so forth. But God wants to raise up prophetic people that are here. The gift is in you, not someone else. Say, the gift is in me. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stretch our hands toward the heavens for a moment. We thank you that through the three ways that you have spoken to us this morning, God, you want to activate the prophetic strongly in that mantle in the house again. Let us pick it up and move forward. And we thank you for the prophetic presbytery, the elders of the house, that when we lay hands upon folk who want the gifts stirred up in their lives, that God would impart and activate through the doctrine of the laying on of hands and show folk what they're supposed to be doing. You've been led here. That means God wants to activate you here and send you forth from here into the marketplace. Next week at the close of the service, Lord willing, we want to lay hands upon folk that want those gifts and callings of God through impartation and activation come alive in you. And we thank you, Lord.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."